today what I want to talk to you about is how, a better way to live. I'm going to share two scriptures. It's 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to read in just a moment quickly what it talks about in the Word of God about contentment. And then I'm going to jump over to 2 Kings chapter 5 and show you a picture of something that took place about a man named Elisha and a young servant named Gehazi who did not understand what it meant to be content. It was about 2 months ago that there's a cabin that's over in Amboy that we like to go to, and I needed to mow the lawn. And I went over there, and my lawnmower, it was old. I bought it for $25 3 years ago, something like that. And I went to prime, you know, how's that little rubber thing? You can prime the motor on the lawnmower. I hit that, and the thing split. And I thought, well, that's not going to work. I'll just try to start it anyway. So I grabbed the cord, and I went to pull it, and I pulled the cord right out of the lawnmower. And I thought, well, this is God's sign to not mow the lawn. Right? You know? So I went home because there's nothing I could do. But then I called my neighbor, Bruce Radke. He's a couple houses down. Bruce, do you have a lawnmower that I can use so I can go mow the lawn? He said, absolutely. I'll leave it out in the driveway for you. I picked it up, put it in the truck, went back over there. And it's a new mower, but you know, new to me. And I reached down there, did whatever I needed to do, pulled first try, it started. And I thought, oh, it must be nice, you know? And I grabbed the lawnmower. And I got the handle, and then I got this other doohickey handle up here. And you remember my lawn, after you have moles or groundhogs, moles, whatever, that chew up your lawn, every step it's like breaking an ankle, you know, because your ground's so wobbly. And I'm pushing and fussing and fighting, and my back's sore because this thing just won't go. I'm 2/3 of the way through the lawn, and I'm frustrated. I got to stop for a while. My back is just killing me. And I come back out after I had some water, and I start it up again. And then I see this little handle on the top, and I'm like, what is that for? It doesn't make sense. Now, I'm a little slow sometimes, so. I thought, let's see what happens if I pull that lever. And when I pulled that lever, the lawnmower took off. It was a self-propelled mower. I mean, you pull that handle, it does the work for you. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. I've been mowing this lawn, 2/3 of it, pushing it, like it's like a boulder uphill trying to make things work. And to boot, there's very little grass. There's just enough you got to mow, but there's a lot of sticks. So as you're mowing, you know, little sticks are hitting you in the ankle. And, you know, so I'm getting all mad and frustrated. But when I discovered that lever, all of a sudden, it changed everything. No longer was I pushing a lawnmower. The lawnmower was pulling me. I had to keep up. I was like at a little jog, you know, keeping up with this lawnmower. And no longer was that my back or my feet or my legs hurting because I had to do all of the work. The lawnmower was doing the work for me. I just had to kind of guide it. When you and I are going through life, sometimes it feels like we're pushing that old dog of a lawnmower through a yard that's going to break my ankle, and we're wondering what in the world could make this better. And the one word I want to share with you today is about learning how to live a life of contentment. Contentment. If I were to ask you today, are you content with life? I'm sure I'd get a whole array of different answers. But the reality is we usually find it very easy to find things that are wrong instead of things that are right, don't we? It just comes natural. I can sit down and watch a TV program and think of 10 different ways they could have done it better or the scenario could have turned out. And I forget about the fact that I'm blessed to be able to sit here and watch the program. Or you know, I miss out on the best things because I'm busy critiquing. And the thing is if we don't learn what contentment is, not the way the world defines it, but the way that the Word of God defines it, we're going to miss the very best that God has for us. Let me read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 6, and it says this about contentment. It says, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. That's when it is. Verse 7, for we have brought nothing into the world, so we can take nothing out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these things we shall be content. With these things. That's what contentment is about. If there's anything I want you to catch, and there is an outline if you'd like to follow along today, I'm going to give you 3 points in just a moment, but here's the message summed up. Here's what contentment is. You can write it down. It means to be at ease regardless of what's happening around you. Biblical true contentment means being happy or being at ease, not happy, but being at ease with everything that's going on around you, even if you're not happy about it. You learn to be at ease. I want to focus on that just a little bit this morning, because otherwise we can get caught up in the woe is me kind of a lifestyle. Now, it's true. You may be here today and you feel like life has dealt you a bad hand, or you're going through a difficult situation, or you have a supervisor who's not fair, or you're struggling with the business financially, or it's a marriage thing. Whatever it is, we tend to first look at what's wrong and never come together agreeing on what's right. And that just shoots a hole in the boat. We've got to learn what contentment is. 1 Timothy says, godliness actually is a means of great gain when it is accompanied by contentment. You see, many times we get frustrated and we struggle and we start taking on this gloom and doom mentality in life. We're doomed, you know, because we don't have enough money to pay the bills. We're doomed by our failures. We're doomed by our loneliness. We're doomed to struggle. And we get this mentality of things that just, we struggle and we don't know how to make things right. Well, when we learn the biblical definition of contentment, it changes everything, just like me with that lawnmower. I was fussing and fighting and struggling, but when I understood what that little lever did, all of a sudden everything changed. When you feel like you're struggling, when you feel like life is weighing down upon you, understand that little lever called contentment, being at ease with whatever is going on in your life. So let me ask you today, what's going on with you in your life today that you're struggling with? Think about that for a moment. What are you struggling with? And now, if we believe what the Bible says, that if we take what's going on and couple that with contentment, how can you be at ease with that? How can you do that? How can you come to a place, am I saying be comfortable or happy about where you're at? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying learn to choose it, because contentment is going to be a choice. Did you know that? Contentment is a choice. I am choosing today to be at ease with what's going on. Because if you don't, the world is going to, and your mind is going to try to manipulate things so you can work it out yourself. That brings me to 2 Kings chapter 5. I think I'll just tell you the story right now. 2 Kings chapter 5, and I'll refer to a couple scriptures because of time. But there is a prophet there, and the prophet has an assistant there. His name's Gehazi. And how many of you remember Naaman in the Bible? Do you remember a guy by the name of Naaman? 2 Kings chapter 5 talks about a man named Naaman. He was a well-known guy, a leader, but he had a problem. He had leprosy. And they said, if you go to this man of God, he'll be able to pray for you, and you can see that you can get your healing, but he had to be willing to go. And when he went, he took money and he took gifts and riches and all that stuff to give the man. He went to the prophet. I'm telling you the Cliff Note version so I can get to my point. And he said, will you pray for me? And do you remember what the prophet said? He said, go to the Jordan and dip 7 times. Remember that? And he didn't want to do it, but when he did on that 7th time, he was healed. He's now received his healing, and he wants to give the prophet money. He wants to bless him. He wants to give him all of that. But he says, no. He says, I don't need any of that. He said, you don't need to buy your healing. Receive it. That's what you do. And so the man left, but the servant Gehazi was listening to this. He's watching the prophet turn down the money and just doing simply what God had told him to do. And that started to bother him. And so he chased out after the man. It says that Naaman left, and Gehazi, it says, ran around and chased down the man Naaman and said, hey, hold on just a minute. He said, the prophet sent me to take a little bit of money because we have a couple ELN students we got to pay for, okay? And we got to educate them and feed them and clothe them. So he said, give me a little bit of money. He lied like a dog. He wasn't telling the truth. The prophet did not send him. And Naaman, not knowing any better, said, perfect, okay, fine. I'll give you not only what you're asking for, but I'll give you more than that. And you find out that all of a sudden, Gehazi comes back. He wanted the money. He wanted the blessings. He tried to fix everything in his own strength and his own wisdom. And it says in chapter 5, verse 20, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, behold, my master spared Naaman, but did not receive anything from his hands that he brought. As the Lord lives, I will run after him, and I'll get something. You see that mentality? You see it in the United States of America very much. What's in it for me? That's what it's all about. That's the bottom line. What's in it for me? Because if there's nothing in it for me, why should I waste my time on you? You see, that's a worldly viewpoint, but a biblical viewpoint is knowing that what God has spoken, you simply obey it and do it and move on to the next thing. But you see, Gehazi didn't understand contentment. He didn't understand, nor did he make the choice of being at ease where he was at with what he had. And because of that, there was a steep price. You find out as you read on that Gehazi comes back, and it says that the prophet says to him, "Where were you?" Let me find it. It's like verse 26 or 27. 25. He went and stood in front of his master, and Elisha said to him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" All I can picture when I read that is like with my kids, or when I was a kid and I know I was doing something I shouldn't do. And you go, "Where were you at and what were you doing? What were you up to?" "Nowhere. Nothing." "What were you doing?" "Nothing." "What were you thinking?" "I don't know." You know, doing kind of some of those things. This is exactly what Gehazi is doing. He didn't learn what it means to be content. He went to get his slice of the pie, what's in it for him. He comes back, and Elisha says, "Where you been?" "Nowhere." "What have you been doing?" "Nothing." And he doesn't want to answer him. And Elisha says, "Did not my heart go with you and see what you did?" Now, he's not saying, Elisha wasn't saying, "I was physically there and I saw what you did." What Elisha was saying is, he said, when the man was here talking about the, and let me break it down to terms we can understand, the blessings, the gifts that Naaman brought, a lot of scholars kind of debate on how much it was, but it's somewhere in the $1.2 million range. How many of you would like to pray for somebody, trusting God for the outcome, and they want to write you a check for $1.2 million? How many of you received that in Jesus' name? Yeah, amen. You know, M-A-C-H-E-N. You know, that's how you spell it. Write it on the check correctly. But he turned that down. And so Gehazi just had such a hard time with that. And when Elisha said, "Did not my heart go with you and see you?" What he meant was this. When the man was standing there offering me $1 million and I turned it down, did you not think for one moment I saw the twinkle in your eye? You can tell when somebody wants something, can't you? They got that look upon their face. Gehazi had that. Why? Because he wasn't content with what he had. He had to have more. You know, when we're born, one of the first things that we learn to say is more. Mine. My. I. Words like that. As a matter of fact, it was Drea's first word. Wasn't it? Yeah, I think we always joked with her because when we'd feed her, we fed her a lot of carrots, baby carrots, all mushed up, you know, and she loved them. We'd feed them. We fed her so many carrots, her skin started to turn an orange, you know, but you put the carrots in her mouth and then she'd look at you and go, "More, more," and she always wanted more. And I couldn't help but think, how many times in life have I been guilty of missing God's blessings and always crying that I want more? When I do that, I miss the understanding of what contentment is all about. Gehazi had to learn a tough lesson because Elisha said, "Listen, because you did wrong, because you were a liar, pants on fire," it says, "that leprosy that was going to come on Naaman is now going to come up on you and your descendants." And there was a case of leprosy that came upon him. And my fear this morning is simply this, that if we don't learn what it means to truly be biblically content or content with what God has given us right now, there could be a spiritual leprosy that gets upon us. In other words, what I mean by that is simply this. Spiritual leprosy is something that says, "I want what I want when I want it. And by the way, I want it now." You see, we start looking for me, myself, and I. God bless my four no more. We get that kind of a mindset. And we miss God's best. We miss the blessings he has for us. So if you're going to catch anything, remember what I want you to catch first of all is what contentment truly is. Contentment is being at ease regardless of what's going on. Think about it. What's going on with you? What's driving you nuts right now? What's falling apart? What isn't working right? What is it that you can only see the negative? You never see the positive. Now in the midst of that, he says, choose joy. Choose to be at ease and content with what you have. And God will bring a blessing into your life. It's a choice that you have to make. But let me give you just three things that we need to focus on. Three things that we can take home with us. Number one is this. Write down, contentment doesn't mean to settle. It's recognizing God's blessings. If you're here today and you're saying, "I've been struggling with just not being happy with where I'm at. I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to be greedy, but yet there's something in me that just continues to drive that way. I know that happens for me. What do I do?" It's not about settling for second best. Contentment doesn't mean settle for where you're at. God's not going to bless you anymore. No, it means settling for what you have because sometimes you miss the forest for the trees. You know what I mean? You miss the blessings that you already have, that God has placed in your life. Let me ask you this morning, we'll take a little quiz here today. How many of you this morning, when you woke up because from sleeping out of bed? You had a bed to sleep on. Anybody? Anybody? Raise your hand. Let me see it. Okay. So, yeah, you're blessed. How many of you had a pillow to put your head on? Do you have a pillow? Okay. You're blessed. How many of you had a roof over your head? Yeah, it was storming last night. Wasn't it nice to have a roof over your head, even though it kept us awake? Yeah, you're blessed. Yeah, but Pastor, that storm took out the power, and we have problems. Well, be thankful you got things to have the power go out on. You're blessed. How many of you woke up this morning? You're blessed. How many of you can breathe today? You're taking a deep breath. You're blessed. Oh, but Pastor, I got heart issues. I got a lung infection. Things aren't looking good. They're telling me I'm going downhill. Well, you aren't there yet, so God's not finished with you. You're blessed. Did you eat breakfast this morning? You will be blessed. Did you have crackers and cheese next door? You're blessed. You see, sometimes we forget. We start looking at the next thing, and we miss the blessings that are around us. I'm going to step out on a limb. How many of you are here are married? I'm going to say it. Don't you dare say anything if your spouse is sitting next to you. You are blessed. Hey, you better say amen. She's going to kill you. You really are blessed. But Pastor, you don't understand how difficult it is in our home. I don't completely, unless you want to come tell me, but you have a home. You're blessed. But we are you and fight. You got a voice. You're blessed. Look for something good. You can always find something, but we don't naturally gravitate towards that, do we? We miss God's blessings. When you do not choose contentment, then you miss God's best. And you miss God's blessings that he wants to bring into your life. You will get more through contentment than you ever will through settlement. I was in a car accident years ago. How many of you remember when I had a little Ford Festiva and I got hit by a semi? Do you remember that? Yeah, the odds were not in my favor. And it was a blessing from God. I walked away from that. I was sore. I had a couple scratches. I had my arm in a sling, but no broken bones. And I was fine. And when it came time to settle things, so to speak, in court, the guy that trashed my car and the company that needed to pay for it, they wanted to pay squat for the car. Now, I had a Ford Festiva. It's not like it was worth a whole lot. But I remember having this mindset. That car is worth at least $4,000. So I better get top dollar. Dude, you hit me with the semi. Can you hear that entitlement in my voice? Somebody owes me, and somebody's going to pay. And, I mean, after all, I got hit by a semi. Come on. How much more tragic or drastic does it need to get? And so I said, they're going to pay top dollar. And so what happened was, is they call and they say, oh, they're going to pay for your car to be taken care of and totaled. You'll get like $1,500. I'm like, oh, no. $1,500. My ankle, that car's worth like $4,000. And they said, $4,000 to you, but not to us. It's only worth like $1,500. And I started to get mad. I started to get angry. Here's what I was doing. I was choosing the wrong battle. I felt like, oh, no, we are not going to settle for this. And I still remember the Lord telling me, Jim, are you really going to fight over the $1,500 to $4,000 range? After all, you did get hit by a semi, and you're still here. And I said, $1,500 sounds good. I remember that being one of my first of many lessons on contentment. He didn't do it for me. He didn't call me on the carpet, and all of a sudden that changed everything. I still had a choice to make. And I remember saying, you know what? I'm thankful I didn't break anything. I'm thankful I'm here. All of a sudden my language changed. I'm thankful that I've got another day. I'm thankful that I got to spend all the years I've got to spend with my wife. It could have ended there. I'm thankful I got to see my kids grow. And I started thanking God for all of the right things instead of complaining about all of the wrong ones. My point is simply this. When you choose contentment, it causes you to focus on God's blessings that are in the here and now. And it'll get you through whatever it is that you're going through. Number two, contentment has less to do with your state of mind and more to do with the condition of your heart. Has more to do with the condition of your heart. On Discovery Channel, I think it's Discovery. It's one of those channels that, you ever see these channels where they do like medical procedures? You know what I'm talking about? So you'd be flipping through TV and somebody would be getting like a surgery and be like, oh, dear Lord, what's going on? You know, and I remember one, they had somebody's chest opened up and they were doing open heart surgery. And I watched that show and these doctors are skilled. They're talented. And they can find, you know, all the valves and where the aorta is at. I know there's an aorta in there somewhere. I don't know where. I know there's a heart in there. You know, I don't know that stuff, but they do. And with fine precision, they're going around and they're working on the heart, and they are able to locate exactly what is going on with each and every person. But the one part of the heart they can never find is the part that chooses to lie. The one part of the heart that they can't identify is the part of the heart that chooses sin or chooses to love or be loved. They can't locate that, but guess who can? It's Jesus Christ. He can locate that in your heart. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what you're going through when you're struggling. And when he says, choose to be content, it's not because we don't know what else to do, so just choose that. He says, no, what you need is to choose contentment. It has to do with your heart, not with your mind. Because I don't know about you, when I get discontented with life, let's be honest, we all end up there at some point. We're dissatisfied, we're discouraged, we're maybe a little depressed. We start reevaluating life. What am I doing with my life? Is it really making a difference? You got to be careful, because those are all good questions, but they can be rabbit holes that take you down too. And so you've got to start asking the right questions and start saying, Lord, this isn't about my mind. I got to use it, but Lord, where's the state of my heart right now? What do you have to say, Lord Jesus, about what's going on? And he will speak to you. And he will lead you and guide you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. It's in your outlines. Go ahead and read it with me. Will you? Real nice and loud. Ready? Go. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You've got to know that he places so much value on your heart. Not the physical, necessarily, heart, but the part that makes the choice to be content or not. That's the part. That's where he says the treasure is at. When dealing with contentment, we must be able to answer that question and say, you can turn it around. Here's a way that you can test the Word of God. If the Word of God says, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Ask this question, where my heart is right now, is there treasure? Only you can answer that for you. You can ask that of the Lord. Where my heart is right now, the way I think, the way I feel, my emotions, that's going, where my heart is right now, is there treasure there? Because if there is, that can be a good thing. But if there's not, you may have to ask a few more questions. Contentment has less to do with the state of mind and more to do with the condition of your heart. And number three, the last one is this. Last thing we can take home with us is contentment, when you choose that, draws you closer to God, not pushes you further away. When you choose contentment, being at ease with whatever's going on around you, you'll know if you're leaning into contentment, if it starts drawing you closer to God. However it needs to happen, because sometimes we're waiting for the natural, oh man, I'm feeling it today. I want to be in the presence of God. That's good. But choosing God means even in the times when you're not feeling it, and when you don't like who you are, maybe at that moment, or you don't like where you're at, you still choose in the midst of that to be at ease, regardless of what's going on in my life, and you let that draw you closer. Sometimes what draws you close is pain. If that's it, then let that pain draw you closer to God, because God wants to heal your heart. He wants to do a new work within your life. So we must be willing to do that. Have you noticed that the further you chase a dollar, the less time you have for God? Have you noticed the harder you chase a promotion, the more distance can come up in your marriage? Have you noticed the more stuff you have, sometimes, the emptier you feel inside? You see, contentment is about a choice, not based on the stuff, but based on the Spirit of God. Am I saying that we shouldn't want nice stuff? No, you can have nice stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. It's okay to have things or stuff in life. Just don't let the things or the stuff have you. Don't let them control you and dictate who you will be. Now, let me give you the end of the story. I don't have a whole lot of time to go there and look at it, but if you want to look at 2 Kings chapter 7, 2 Kings chapter 8, if you read on, here's what happened with Gehazi. Gehazi made a choice to not choose to be content. He chose to be greedy, and he said, give me what I want, and Elisha called him on it. And he said, because your heart's not right, the leprosy that was on Naaman will now be upon you. And it says he became white as snow, leprosy. And here's the thing about leprosy. When you got leprosy, you were done. You're shunned. You're put out of the city. Everywhere you go, you got to cry out, unclean, unclean, so people wouldn't get near you. How humiliating would that be? And that was his life now. But I was reading in my Bible, doing my devotions, because we do our devotions, right? I'm messing with you now. When I was doing my devotions, I read in 2 Kings chapter 8 that it says that the king, there was four people in the presence of the king, four or five people, and one of them, his name was Gehazi. And I was like, wait, hold on, time out. Gehazi, same Gehazi? And I went and looked, and it is. And I thought, how could he be in the king's presence? How could he, as a leper in chapter 5, be in the king's presence in chapter 8? Something had to happen in between chapter 5 and chapter 8, right? And so I went back and I looked, and if you look at chapter 7, you'll hear a story about how these four lepers were walking around, and they were looking for a village trying to survive, and they said, let's go into the Armenian camp. If they kill us, then at least we die, and we don't have to suffer any longer. But if they receive us, then we'll be spared. And the short version of the story is that they showed up, and there was nobody in the camp. And there's a whole story behind that. I won't get into it now. But they started, when they showed up and they saw there's a whole camp and there's food on the table and rich, I mean, the people left the town and they left their purses and wallets and iPads and iPhones behind and everything. And they started going, dude, look at that, it's an iPhone. That's mine. And they started going, I got the iPad. There's stuff in their pockets. I mean, they're like, come on, dude, grab what you can get. Get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. Let's go. And they're grabbing everything because after all, we deserve this because we've been shunned by the community. And what happened was, is the Bible says that Gehazi, in the midst of, taking all his stuff, he starts grabbing it all. And he goes, wait a minute. 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 4. It says the king was talking to Gehazi, but in chapter 7, it says that when he was taking it, he said, wait a minute. He said, this thing we're doing is not right. And it's like a light bulb. You ever have a light bulb moment? Bing! There's something familiar here. And he says, you know what? The last time I was taking food and I was taking clothing was when I stood before Elisha, and I was manipulative and I was deceptive and I didn't choose to be content. I chose to get my slice of pie, and I got leprosy because of it. And it says that he remembered and learned the lesson, so he put the stuff down and said, this isn't right what we're doing, and he went to the king and he told the king of Israel what was going on. And the Bible's not clear. It does not say that because of the choice he made that he was healed of his leprosy. But I can only take a leap that there's not going to be a king out there that's going to allow a leper to come into the king's courtroom and stand in his presence. Something had to have happened. What's my point in sharing all this? Contentment is choosing to be at ease regardless of what's going on around you. And if you come to a place where you've allowed the world to dictate how you're going to feel and how you're going to think, God's not finished with you yet. He wants to call you into his courtroom. He wants to call you into his presence. You can come into the presence of God, and there's something that he wants to do, a healing, a release that he wants to give you. You see, Gehazi, when he realized what he was doing was wrong, said, you know what? I've taken this test before, and I failed it. And now I'm taking it again, and I want to pass the test. How many of you, as you went through high school, you failed the test, you had to retake it, right? Usually. If you failed the grade, you had to retake the grade. And Gehazi is saying, I'm in a place and I don't want to fail again. I am going to choose contentment. That's the same challenge we have today. You see, if you're going through a difficult time and if you're going through a struggle, I want to encourage you today. Choose contentment. How do I do that? You choose to be at ease regardless of what's going on around you, and you come to a place of understanding what it means to submit to God. Don't settle. Recognize his blessings. Here's my challenge to you. It's the 3 points. I challenge you to look for the blessings of God. Find 5 things today. Lord, I'm thankful for, and there's way more than 5, I'll guarantee you, because I can see way more than 5 right now as I look at you. But choose his blessings. It's an exercise to get you out of self and into that presence. And secondly, check your heart. I went to the doctor 3 weeks ago. I go there every 6 months for some medicine I have to get. I get frustrated going because I'm like, I know what they're going to do. They're going to take my blood pressure. They're going to check my temperature. They're going to check my pulse. They're going to ask me, how you doing, Mr. Machen? I'm going to say, fine. And they're going to give me my prescription, and I'm going to go. Why do they make me do this? Why do they make me come every 6 months? Because they want to check up on me. How are you doing when the Lord comes to you? And he says, are you content with what you have? Do you even know what you have? Do you recognize the many blessings? Maybe God's going to come and check the pulse of your, not your state of mind, but the condition of your heart. And the third challenge is this. Draw close to God. Contentment will always lean into God, not away from Him. But it's a choice that you and I have to make. Don't settle. Look for His blessings in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You that You love us so much, that there's not one thing You would not do to make sure that we'd ever miss out on Your great love. Father, I pray today for those of us that are going through struggles, we're going through difficult times. Maybe for some of us, I believe, that are here are going through a season where it's felt like a desert. It's just been dry. My spiritual life hasn't been there, and it's that pump has not been primed. God wants to do something about that here today, but it's going to require you to choose to be at ease. In life, regardless of what's going on, just choose Him. If that's you today, receive that. Just make it a decision in your heart today that you're choosing contentment. Maybe you're here today, and it just seems like it's too easy to look at what's wrong. I have a hard time seeing what's right. Then, Father, I pray that You give us Your eyes to see the many blessings in our life. Lord, I pray that as we leave here today, we would see like You see, we would hear like You hear, so that no matter what, we would see You in everything that crosses our path. In Jesus' name, amen.